Welcome to your 49ers Live. I'm Kiana, sitting in for our friend Ted Robinson alongside Joe Fan. Joe, I wish I was joining you on a more celebratory note. Instead, I'm not, as the San Francisco 49ers fell to the Indianapolis Colts last night, yesterday afternoon, rather, I say, in overtime. Joe, what did you see from yesterday's game?
Yeah, Kiana, it feels like Groundhog Day a little bit here. Now 0-5, the last four losses being, or last two coming in overtime, the last four being by 3 points or less. Four losses, 11 points total is the margin. Only the second team in the Super Bowl era to lose four straight games by 3 points or less. It's really an unprecedented run right now for the 49ers, and obviously a disappointing one to be on the losing end of such close games. Let's look at how it unfolded yesterday at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Colts, a team that was ripe for the picking, with Jacoby Brissett, the backup quarterback, in. Here's his touchdown run to make it 23-9 in the fourth quarter. It looked like the 49ers might have been out of it. But just like the Rams game on Thursday Night Football, the 49ers would come back. This is a 56-yard bomb, and what a catch from Marquise Goodwin. Full extension. That would set up the 49ers' first road touchdown of the season, a shovel pass on third and goal to Kyle Juszczyk. Juice checking in with his first touchdown as a member of the 49ers. After a defensive stop, now it's 3rd and 10. George Kittle time. Oh, no, this is the tip pass. 49ers catch a break here. The ball bounces their way. Pierre Garçon, could have been an interception. Instead, it's a first down on 3rd and 10. Look at this. Brian Hoyer getting his pass tipped at the line of scrimmage. Pierre Garçon, the concentration to come with a big play. Here's a gutsy call from Kyle Shanahan. Play action on 4th and 1, finding George Kittle downfield. Kittle had 5 catches on this drive alone, one of them being his first career touchdown. This ties the game going into overtime. Kyle Shanahan elects to kick the PAT, not go for two. He said post-game he didn't even consider it, wanted to give his guys a chance in overtime. George Kittle, a huge game for him. 7 catches for 83 yards. Colts looking like they're going to win it on the opening drive of overtime. But not so much. It's Ray Armstrong's second interception in as many weeks, his third career pick. Returned near midfield to give the 49ers great field position and save the game for San Francisco. Unfortunately, the offense would have to punt it away. Here's Marlon Mack, and the rookie running back was a thorn in San Francisco's side all game long. He gets loose here for the 30-yard gain into field goal range. And from 51 yards out, he's done it so many times, and he does it here again. Adam Vinatieri, the future Hall of Famer, drills it for the win in walk-off fashion. The 49ers now 0-5, losing to the Colts 26-23.
The 49ers' backs were limited to just 66 yards on the day. The 49ers' running back split carries, with Matt Breida taking the bulk of that production. That's their least amount of production since week one against the Carolina Panthers. And how about Brian Hoyer? The last time he played the Colts as a member of the Chicago Bears in 2016, Hoyer had a career game, throwing for 397 yards. This time around, completed 29 of 46, 353 yards, 2 touchdowns. And like you mentioned, the rookie tight end George Kittle, who celebrates his birthday today. So a happy birthday to George Kittle. 7 catches, 83 yards, and his first career NFL touchdown. Joe, with all of that being said, what did you see specifically from the 49ers offense?
Yeah, it was an improvement in times, and at other times it was very much the same, right? You look at this offense, and what's plagued this group is penalties, third down conversions, and consistency. And when you look at this group, you look at the first drive of the game, right? You marched on the field. I think Pierre Garçon had 5 or 6 catches on the first drive alone. You get inside the 10-yard line, or inside the red zone at least, and George Kittle, a catchable ball in the end zone, not able to make the grab. And really, for the next 2.5 quarters into that fourth quarter, you're limited to field goals and 3 and outs. Yes, they didn't turn the ball over, so that's a big deal, making Indianapolis drive full field. But when you get into the fourth quarter and you're down 23-9, needing 2 touchdowns, that's not a position you want to get yourself in. And so it reminded me a lot of the Rams game, where you get in that hole early and you're forced to chuck it downfield a little bit, force the issue, go to that no-huddle offense. And give credit where credit's due. Brian Hoyer did just that. Marquise Goodwin stepped up. 5 catches, 116 yards. Pierre Garçon stepped up. 8 catches, 94 yards. George Kittle ended up stepping up huge on that final drive. That fourth down play, several other catches, and then the touchdown to tie the game on 4th and goal from 5 yards out. Barely getting the nose of the football over the goal line. But again, in overtime, your defense gives you an opportunity. And at that point, all you need is a field goal. And the pass interference gets you to the 50-yard line. That's your opportunity. You've got to take advantage of it. And Kyle Shanahan says week after week, that you've got to be able to make the plays in the moment of truth. And the 49ers did that to a degree, but then you get another opportunity to win the game, and they don't take advantage. And so when Ray Armstrong gets the interception at the goal line, as the offense, when you take the field, the mentality has to be the Colts don't get another possession. We're going to win it right here. We've got faith in our guy, Robbie Gould, and we're going to make it happen and go home with our first victory of the season. It didn't happen. Brian Hoyer, the second most yardage he's had in a single game, 353 yards, two touchdowns. So on paper, the statistics look nice. But I think, again, you're looking at really two and a half quarters where the consistency just wasn't there.
Now, I wanted to jump into the 49ers defense. Before I do that, we actually got a question in from Shannon asking, why did Carlos Hyde not play more in the second half? Matt Breida, like I said, carried the bulk of the production. Also, Raheem Mostert got in on that as well. But what happened with Carlos Hyde?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's important to note that it wasn't injury-related. Both Carlos Hyde and Navarro Bowman were spelled this week. One, to keep Bowman fresh, and two, to ride Matt Breida's hot hand. And in the second half, when the 49ers were really struggling, Matt Breida gave the team some life. He had, let me look at the numbers, 10 carries for 49 yards, almost 5 yards per carry. He also had, what, 3 catches for 22 yards. And so the rookie was productive. And so I think that was just Kyle Shanahan saying, our offense needs a shot in the arm a little bit. Matt Breida is giving us that. And so the good news is for Carlos Hyde, it's not due to an injury. He said post-game, obviously, he wants to be out there with his guys, but he understands that Matt Breida was playing well. And so you'll see a lot of coaches do that. Ultimately, when the offense needs some life and someone's giving it to you, you can't take him out of the game. And Matt Breida did that yesterday. I don't necessarily think that's a sign for anything moving forward or something that you should expect on a week-to-week basis, or that Matt Breida has supplanted Carlos Hyde on the depth chart. But the rookie's playing well. Got to feed him a little bit.
Now, going on to defense. Now, on paper, I mean, this game looks like the 49ers could have had it. I mean, they're facing the 25th ranked rushing offense. I mean, they gave up nearly 160 yards to Colts running backs when they haven't broke 100 all season long. What happened on the 49ers defense?
Yeah, those are good numbers to point out. Obviously, Frank Gore, he passes Eric Dickerson for 7th all time. So big shout out to Uncle Frank. Frankie G having a nice game. He always had the big catch, the 26-yard reception. But on the ground, he was limited. 14 carries for 48 yards. But as you saw the highlights, it was Marlon Mack, another rookie running back, who had a really fantastic game. And a lot of it is due to the fact that the 49ers defense really struggled to set the edge. Just 9 carries for 91 yards, most of those going outside the tackles. You saw the big one to set up the touchdown. His 22-yard touchdown run was very similar. Then the 30-yard run in overtime was the same thing, really getting outside that right edge. Poor gap control from the 49ers and poor ability to maintain that edge and make them run inside. And so those are the plays that break your back. Here it is in overtime once again. And so tip your cap to Marlon Mack. He had a great game. But for a guy like that who's so fast, and the second he gets outside, it turns into such a big game, you've got to be able to set the edge. The 49ers didn't do a good enough job of that yesterday.
No, the questions have always been coming in, pouring in about this one guy. And so I've got to ask, yep. Mark Ronan, will Reuben Foster play this week?
I think this could be the week for the Ferrari. I think Eric Reed as well, both those guys, you look to get them back into the fold this week. I think Reed for sure. Matt Maiocca reported yesterday. He got a good workout in before the game. So it looks like Reed is very much on track. Neither of them have officially practiced with the team. So look for Wednesday to be a big day. I would expect them both to be limited. But very good potential that both those guys are back. We've seen Reuben Foster walking around without any sort of ailment for quite some time now. But here's the deal. When he's your first-round pick, it's the cornerstone of the future of your franchise. You got to make sure he's right. And the way I understand it is in the building, if there's even one person who says, okay, that's it. Shutting them down. Not going to happen this week, right? So everyone's got to be on the same page with both of these guys that they're back to 100% and ready to go. I think this could be the week and something that they'll need going against Washington coming off of a bye. It'd be huge to get Reuben Foster and Eric Reed back in into the mix on defense. Jaquaski Tartan, Dream Ward have been playing great, but it gives you just more options in that secondary. Then again, we saw what Reuben Foster's capable of in just those 11 plays. And you don't want to be an apologist or make excuses. There are no moral victories, but the fact that you can lose 4 straight games by 3 points or less, you're so close, you're in it without guys like Reuben Foster and Eric Reed, it should give you some hope that them coming back into it can maybe get you over the top.
And I'm going to jump sides right here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about your guy. I mean, he's the 49ers' leading scorer so far this season. I'm talking a little bit Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
who kicked his 300th field goal this week.
Yep.
What'd you see from that guy?
Yeah, I mean, again, bar the PAT that he missed, Robbie's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
You go for it, and just go to Thursday night where you saw Bucks kicker Nick Folk, and this isn't to throw Nick Folk under the bus, but you just have to value when you have a good kicker and a guy that you're throwing out, and every time he goes out there, you're expecting it's going to go in, right? You don't have that, dear God, we have no idea what's about to happen. And I asked Kyle Shanahan about that, like, how much confidence does it give you? And he says it's not always been the case where I've had a kicker that I believe in, and it changes your strategy as a play caller where, you know, now he knows once he gets inside the 40-yard line, he knows that he's in Robbie's range, and you don't have to stress out about getting those extra yards because you're nervous about his consistency. And you look at what Robbie Gould means to this team so far. He's made all 14 of his field goals. And so people want to scream, let me just address those people. But the PAT, against the Rams. Yes, it was big. But you look against Arizona, this week against Indianapolis, and then the game against Seattle in Seattle. The 49ers aren't in those games if Robbie Gould's not making field goals. And so to be 14 of 14, he's made 31 straight dating back to 2015. He's been fantastic. He's kept the 49ers in games. And the 49ers special teams units, Bradley Pinion included, have been fantastic.
Now, looking ahead to next week, the 49ers head to the nation's capital to face the Washington Redskins, the 2-2 Redskins, who are coming off of a week's rest off of a bye. It'll be a game of familiar faces in unfamiliar places. That includes Kyle Shanahan, Pierre Garçon, and some others. What do we have to look forward to next week?
I like that tagline.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that. you can bet that Kyle Shanahan and Pierre Garçon are going to want to win these. Kyle Shanahan spent 4 years there as the offensive coordinator under his dad, Mike Shanahan. And Pierre Garçon crossed over a little bit with Coach Shanahan, but he spent 5 years there as well. He had a 1,000-yard campaign last year. So, again, a lot of familiar faces. They won't say it that it means more, but you can just bet that they've been marking this one on their calendar quite a bit. When you go back to Washington and you face people that you know and a city that you know and a team and organization that you know, you're going to want to get it. And so, they might not admit it, but when you go against Kirk Cousins and come to that team's 2-2, they're coming off of a bye week, so they're going to be well rested. The 49ers, again, going cross country. It's their third straight road game, 3 out of 4, before they come back home and face the Cowboys. It's an important one. I want to address a question, Keanu. We can touch on this here. Where is it? Marty wants to know why the offense is so slow to start. And I think that's such a key. When you go on the road against a good team like Washington, you've got to be able to start fast. And the 49ers looked to do that yesterday, right? That drive, they're churning out yards. Pierre Garçon eating on that first drive against his former team. You get into the red zone. You've got a catchable ball in the end zone to take that quick lead. Oh, and then all of a sudden you're stuck with a field goal, and then you go on a dry spell. Let me look at, you know, they got a field goal before half, you know, with time ticking down. But then, you know, you're not scoring again until the fourth quarter. You're not getting in the end zone until about midway through the fourth quarter. And so, again, it's that lack of consistency, but you've got to be able to find a way to come out hot. The Colts drive and get a field goal, which is a win on the road. You hold them to a field goal. You got a chance to answer or take the lead. And Brian Hoyer, in an early rhythm to Pierre Garçon over and over again, making these contested catches. Marquise Goodwin, his best game so far this season. That's a career high for him, 116 receiving yards. And so, yes, they did ultimately score on 2 of their 3 trips into the red zone. But that's the problem. Their other 2 trips into the red zone didn't come until midway through the fourth quarter. And so, Marty, I'm right there with you. I've been kind of banging that drum for a while. Again, it's why it kind of feels like Groundhog Day being up here on this set, because, you know, when Kyle Shanahan and Brian Hoyer go to the podium, they're saying the same things over and over again, right? It's frustrating for them. You've got to execute in crunch time. You've got to be able to be consistent. You've got to limit those crucial penalties. 10 penalties again. You can't have double-digit penalties and expect to win ball games. Third down, just 4 of 14 as opposed to the Colts, who are 8 of 16. So those are the numbers you look at that cost you the game. And so it's a great question from Marty. Look for the 49ers offense to start fast. They need to get in that early lead, and not just a field goal, but getting that touchdown on the board early to build that confidence going forward.
49ers will definitely have to go back and regroup as they look to face the 2-2 Washington Redskins next week, Sunday. But before we go, yeah, the 49ers actually lost a member of the 49ers family this week, and the 49ers send their condolences. Joe, you want to take us from here?
Yeah, Y.A. Tittle, Hall of Fame quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, also in the 49ers Hall of Fame. One of the legendary members of the $1 Million Backfield has passed away at 90 years old. It said that he was He passed peacefully and was surrounded by family members, but with the 49ers, 10 seasons in San Francisco, 4 Pro Bowls, 1 All-Pro season, inducted into the Pro Football's Hall of Fame class of 1971, born in 1926, and passed away in 2017. Our thoughts go to the Tittle family. Very nice to hear that he passed peacefully. Obviously, his career and legacy woven into the fabric of this franchise, and he will always be remembered and immortalized right next to us in the 49ers Hall of Fame as well as in Canton. But our thoughts go to his family.
Absolutely. A great piece I actually saw this morning on NFL Network. That'll be it for us this week. Make sure you guys tune in next week. It should be a good one. We're looking to grab that win this week.
Need a win. Maybe you can find it in the nation's capital.
There it is. We'll see you guys next week.